Brethren, 1 Peter is given to us that we may understand that we can be strong in the Lord. We live in a day where there's so many weak Christians. Weak not because of willpower, not because of not working out in the gym. Weak because we don't know God. That's why we're weak. We don't know God, and we don't have faith that He is able. But He is able, isn't He? Amen. He is able. And the more that we trust in Him, the stronger we will be. But we live in, again, we live in perilous days. We live in days where there's so much competing for our attention, competing for our affection, that so often Christians are weak. What is it that's going to keep us from falling? What is it that's going to keep us from being spiritually weak? 1 Peter gives so many of those answers. 1 Peter gives so many of those answers. If you look there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, the Scripture says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ." What is going to keep us strong? Number one, we'll go through these real quick and we'll get to these verses. Number one, if we know that we're saved and our mind is on our salvation, that the Lord has saved us so that we might go to heaven, that will keep us moving in the right direction. But I don't know if we as Christians, as saved people, have upon our minds the fact that we are saved. The very greatest thing that could ever be given to a person, salvation, has been given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Right? And so the Scripture says in 1 Peter, who are kept by the power of God. Are we kept saved by our power? No. And so if we try to keep our salvation by our power, one of the things that we will find is that we will be weak. Will be weakened. What do I mean by that? There are those who do not believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. That there is something they have to do to keep themselves saved. This is a complete falsehood. Amen. There is nothing that we can do to keep ourselves saved. If us keeping ourselves saved was based upon us, no one would end up being saved. And anybody who did end up being saved, because of their efforts, because they kept themselves saved by their own power, they would have reason to boast, wouldn't they?
Amen.
But we are not saved. We do not save ourselves, and we do not keep ourselves saved. If we think so, then all we're doing is we are going to set up for ourselves criteria based upon how we think we're keeping ourselves saved. Right? We'll make the criteria on how we know we're saved, that we've kept ourselves saved. We'll set it up. We'll say, well, I don't steal, so since I'm not stealing, I must be keeping myself saved, because as long as I don't steal anything, I'm going to keep myself safe. We might say, well, I don't murder, and I try to be nice to people, and so I'm keeping myself saved. As long as I can be nice to people, I'll keep myself saved. The day comes where we're not nice to a person, and we'll say, well, being nice isn't such a big deal. Or what we'll end up doing is we'll break our criteria and fall into a state of paralyzation, where we're not able to move forward because we're so focused in on what we've done. And we ought to be focusing on what we've done in one way, but not in the sense that we might lose our relationship with the Lord. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that can separate us from the love of the Lord.
Amen.
That's what it says in Romans chapter 8. By the way, that is only for saved people. Did you know unsaved people, the love of the Lord, there is a day of separation for their love, the love that God has for them? If a person dies without Christ, and they are cast into the lake of fire, they are separated from God forever and His love. Isn't that right?
Amen.
God has done everything needed to do for a person to be loved in the world. He has given His only begotten Son. But if a person dies without Christ, they're separated from the love of God forever. They're separated from the love of God forever. But if we are saved, is there anything that can separate us from the love of Christ? What about certain sins? Can they separate us from the love of Christ?
No.
Once we are saved, we are always saved. Why? 1 Peter tells us. We are saved by the strength of God. Isn't that right?
Amen.
We are kept saved by the strength of God. Praise God for that, because none of us are strong enough to keep ourselves saved.
Amen.
None of us are strong enough to keep ourselves saved. No, it is only the strength of God. And if we put our minds on the fact that we are saved, that we are assured, that's the term that's often used, the assurance of our salvation. Brethren, if you call upon Christ to save you. Now this is important. We do not ask the Lord to save us from things like cancer, financial difficulty, and things like that. That is not what we're saved from when we're speaking about biblical salvation. We are saved from the penalty of our sin. I've told you this before, but my grandma, I talked to her about being saved, and I was young in the faith, and she said one night, my legs hurt so bad I couldn't sleep, and I said, Lord, will you save me from this? And she said, He did, so I'm saved. Well, listen, the Lord doesn't save from hurting legs in the evening. Now, He does. I believe with all my heart He relieves her pain. But she's not saved because of it, is she? She's saved if she calls upon Christ to save her from her sin.
Amen.
He'll leave her sin. And so, if you've asked the Lord to save you from some trial or difficulty or hurt that you're going through, and He does, He did that because He's merciful. But He did that because the mercy of the Lord leaded to repentance. And it's repentance that you need. Repentance from sin. And so, we're saved from the penalty of our sin, and that's important. But if you call upon Christ to save you because you believe He died on the cross for your sins, He died for every sin that you ever committed. He rose from the dead, proving that you're God. Listen, brethren. You say, why are you saying that? We're all in here saved. The reason I say these things is because there will come a day where you wonder, am I saved? You need to understand it's based upon the fact that Christ died for you. That all who call upon the name of the Lord are saved. That's what the Scripture says.
Preach it.
And so when the day comes where you wonder, am I saved? Ask yourself this question. Did Jesus die for you? What's the answer to that?
Amen.
And if you asked Him to save you, yes, we did. And is there anything that you can do, anything that you can do to keep that from being the truth, that He saved you? No. We are kept by the power of God. We are kept by the power of God through the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died to save us. How are we going to get through these days in which we live? One of the ways that God does it is through trials. The Scripture says manifold trials, doesn't it? You know what manifold means? God knows exactly what we need. Two things can happen through trials. Both of them are not bad. Both of them are good. Number one, we can be tried in our faith and fail. You say, how's that good? Because if we fail, and that failure leads us the Lord, saying, God, I'm thankful that you showed me this. You showed me this wicked way in me. You showed me this through this trial. Lord, you know I failed, and I ask you to forgive me. Guess what? Next time it comes, the Scripture says, if we through trial have sin revealed to us, and we sorrow with a godly sorrow, and we repent in a way that never brings where we're glad that these things have happened. Guess what that will keep us from doing next time? And next time those things come, listen, it won't even be a trial. As these things come again and again, over time, it won't even be a trial for you, will it? Have you ever tried to do something and failed?
Amen.
And the next time you did it, you didn't fail. Then the next time you did it, you were even better at what you did it. It took a little less time for you to do it. Right? And so, yes, we will fail in trials that we have. How many of us are going to fail in the trials that God sends to our lives? We're all going to fail. Because none of us are perfect, isn't that right?
Amen.
None of us are what we should be. So God sends the trial. God sends the trial. Something happens. Something happens that we don't like and we lash out in anger. We do something we shouldn't do because we're angry. And because we did something we shouldn't do, we cry. We weaken. We say, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to ever do that again. Help me.
Amen.
Then next time, something happens very similar. You get angry. And you say something you shouldn't say, but you say it under your breath, no one hears. You say, boy, I'm glad I didn't do something I shouldn't have done, but I'm sorry for saying what I said. Then the next time the trial comes, you get angry, but you don't say anything. Then the next time the trial comes, and you're as meek as you've ever been. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Now here's the second. Trial comes, and guess what? We don't fail. Is that possible, by the way? Does every trial God sends us, we're going to fail? We're going to sin through it? No. No, not every trial. And when that happens, boy, the rejoicing that will come. Because when the trial comes, we don't fail. How do we know we don't fail? We don't sin. We don't sin. That's how we will know.
Amen.
Not just in not doing something we shouldn't do, but that we do what we're supposed to do also. Sometimes trials come and we fail because we don't do what we should have. Not only can we sometimes do what we shouldn't do, but also when we don't do what we know we should have done. But that's how we'll know that we didn't fail in the trial that God sent. But we don't see it. But here's the thing about trials. They're not very fun, are they? No trial is enjoyable as we're going through it. No trial is... We may in the end be glad that we went through it, but we're never glad when we are going through it. Isn't that right? We are never glad when we're going through it. Look what the Scripture says. This is beautiful. It says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, verse 6. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. In other words, we have many trials, but how long will they last? Only for a
season.
Only for a season. Only for a season. One of the great things that we must put our faith in and trust in is that God knows when to get us out of the trial. Isn't that right?
Amen.
God knows when and how to get us out of the trial. And there's no temptation in which He does not give us a way out. Over time, our trials are but for a season. Isn't that right? Some trials last for a day. Have You ever had a trial that lasted for a day? Maybe even just a few moments. Like the example I gave before, just a few moments it took for the trial to come. Some trials last for several days or a week, a month. Some trials last for years. Some trials last the rest of our lives, but there's always an end, isn't there? That there's always an end, and that verse 7 is so wonderful. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God's trials make us better, and then He, what? They come. Trials come, but then He comes. Isn't that right? The trials come, but then He comes. Are you in the midst of a trial? One of the things that God wants you to know through the trial, one of the things that He wants you to think on every day, is that He's coming. You know the quickest way in which the end of a trial can be? You know the quickest thing? He comes. Right?
Amen.
That's the quickest way out of every trial that we're going through. You're going through a financial difficulty, what's the quickest way? He comes. Now I want you to be careful about that. Some people think, well, I'm in a financial difficulty, and so the Lord's coming, and then He may come today, so let's get into more debt, because if He comes, I'm not going to have to pay it, right? I've heard some Christians speak that way. I believe in the imminency of Christ. I believe that He is coming back. He is coming back soon. I believe that He's coming back soon. But I've heard some Christians say, well, He's coming back soon. Well, it may not be before that credit card's due next month. And it would be a sin for us to presume upon God. Right? Right, Aaron? It would be a sin to presume upon God. That I can go out and bring my debt level or my debt up so high that I cannot pay it. Because Jesus is coming. Boy, He is coming. But look at what it says. Look at what it says. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we see our trials as our liberty to go and sin more because Jesus is coming, does that make sense with this verse that that's what we do? Why do trials come? So that God gets more glory, honor, praise. But if we go out and use the fact that the Lord is returning again as our license to sin, will He get more honor, glory, and praise? No. And so we ought to be careful about those things. But those are those things, these things are those things that if we have our mind upon them, the appearing of the Lord, the trial of our faith, and the assurance of our salvation, we can be strong in the days in which we live. Amen.
Amen.
May God help us with these. Well, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Will?
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
And so, again, for by grace are you saved. Just no more proof of God's power is what keeps us saved. For by grace, whose grace?
God.
God's grace. Not our grace, right? We don't have grace enough to give to ourselves to save us, nor do we have grace enough to give to ourselves to keep us saved. But by grace you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And so who gives us salvation? Do we get saved by any works that we do? And so does it make sense that we keep ourselves saved by the works that we do? We cannot keep ourselves saved by the works that we do. We do not do good works to keep ourselves saved, do we? We do good works because God saved us. And there's a big difference. We do not do good works to keep ourselves saved. We do good works because God saved us. The next verse, verse 10, says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so when we were born again, does God have works for us to do? Why do we do them? Do we do it to keep ourselves saved? Do we? No. Why do we do the good works that God has for us to do? Because He saved us. Because He saved us. Listen. Assurance of salvation brings praise to God, which brings a willing heart to do what it is God wants us to do. Isn't that right? But if we have to keep ourselves saved, and I've seen this happen with so many that have come to me and said, I don't believe that you are kept by God to be saved. I think you can lose your salvation. I had one young lady come to me and say that she believed that if you had unconfessed sins when you died, you didn't go to heaven. What a burden.
Amen.
What an incredible burden. In her life, I don't know if it's this way anymore, but her life was such a topsy-turvy life. Constantly up and down. Up and down. But if we know that God keeps us, there's a stability to it. And then we can do His work. Ephesians 4:30. Right?
I have John 14:20.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who has Ephesians 4:30? Alex, sorry about that.
You are not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption.
You know what that means? Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption? That means you can't lose your salvation.
Amen.
That's what that means. The word sealed there is a permanency. Because God gave us the Holy Spirit, we are sealed until the day of redemption. Know what the day of redemption is? The day the Lord comes and gets us.
Amen.
We are sealed. We are locked up. There is, it's an unbreakable seal. There's nothing that can keep us from being saved. Nothing that can keep us from being saved. All right, Frank, now you got it. John 14:10.
I think it's 14:25.
I'm sorry.
At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you.
Mm-hmm. So what do you have?
John 14:20.
14:20, okay. And at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. John 14:20. And that day ye shall know I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. If you want to know what that means, look back there in verse 18. It says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Alright? And so who's speaking here?
Jesus.
Jesus. Now, don't be confused. Who is the comforter?
The
Holy Spirit. But is that what He's speaking about here? Is He speaking about the Holy Spirit here?
No.
No, because what does He say? I will come to you. Right? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. One of the great comforts that we can have in the midst of our trials is that He is coming to us. Now listen. If He says, I will not leave you comfortless, what does that mean that we will go through if He's not here? As sometimes. Trials, yes. In other words, we won't be comforted. Isn't that right? He said, I will not leave you comfortless. And what's the solution to our discomfort? He says, I'll come to you. Isn't that right?
Amen. I'll come to you.
That's a beautiful and wonderful thing. I will come to you. I don't know if there's one more principle in the Word of God that can be, bring strength to a Christian if it's, if that is upon their mind every day. Did you know the early Christians, and you can read through the epistles of Paul, do you know what he talked about all the time? Jesus is coming back. My Lord is coming back. My Lord is coming back. You can hardly read through a chapter of one of his epistles without hearing some allusion to him coming again. Why? Paul was shipwrecked 3 times. He was thrown in jail every city he went to. He was beaten to the very edge of his life, and not once, but over and over again. What kept him going back? What kept him moving forward? He knew that there was an end, that the Lord promised he wouldn't keep him comfortless. He said, well, Paul died. He did. The Lord's coming back to get him, isn't he? He's going to get a new body. We're going to be part of that. And that ought to keep us going. That ought to keep us going. We don't have time, but one of these days you should study through 1 Corinthians 15. It's one of the most beautiful chapters in all the Scripture. It speaks about how we're going to get a new body. That's exciting, isn't it, Roy? Roy, you're going to get a new body, aren't you? Roy's favorite song is, I'll Fly Away.
Amen.
Why is that exciting? Because when he does, he's going to get a new body, right? With new ears. Amen. You think about that? When was the last time you thought about that the Lord Jesus is coming back? One of the reasons we go through trials is so God can put upon our mind he's coming back to get us. Well, Becky, you got the last one, John 10. What does that mean? Right, Alex? Does that mean? What does that mean? Once you're in the Father's hand, who can pluck you out? Who can take you out of the Father's hand once you're in? Nobody. Isn't that right? It's pretty easy, isn't it? That's about as self-explanatory as you can get. Once you're in the Father's hand, who can pluck you out? You say, well, I can jump out. No. Once you're in his hands, you're in his or let's pray. Father, watch over us this day. Oh, Father, it's been a long winter. And when long winters come and lots of snow comes, with it comes often thoughts that the devil puts in our minds. Despair. Difficulty. We thank you, Father, that you will not leave us comfortless. We thank you that you will not leave us comfortless. You are coming. You're coming to take us to where you are. We thank you for that. May we live for you this day. May we live for you this week. May we be reminded of what you are doing and what you are to do. Please, Father, do these things. Bless us. We pray in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, brother. If you need to use the bathroom, go ahead. Fellowship together.